In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in the 15th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land, and I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men, a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even all thy, in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have several places in this passage where a part is put for the whole. There are things said that are specific, but they are meant to be interpreted generally. Three things come immediately to mind. The first thing the Lord says is, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be toward this people. Moses and Samuel are a part for the whole. They are known. They have that scripture reputation as intercessors. Remember that Moses interceded before the people at the base of Sinai, and his intercession as a type of Jesus Christ was such that the Lord said, I will not destroy them. Then Samuel was also an intercessor with regard to the case of Saul. And it repented Samuel that he had made Saul king, and he wept before the Lord with regard to Saul all night. And the Lord caused him to stand up, to rise up and say, don't pray for him anymore. I have removed him from being king. I'm going to send you to anoint another man. So Moses and Samuel here then are put as the quintessential intercessors. Jeremiah is interceding for the people. The Lord says, though Moses and Samuel were here, I wouldn't hear them. Remember in the last chapter, it was, pray not for this people. Okay, so the Lord is setting His course. Now, as I told you last week, I'll remind you again, when we get to chapter 18, we're going to hear something very interesting about the Lord's intended course. But for right now, let's just hear what the Lord has and let us take that in. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, I would not be toward this people. I will not be entreated of for them. And remember that there is a time where the Lord says, you've crossed the line, we cannot go back, judgment's going to fall. There is a time for that. Even that great gospel passage of Isaiah 55, ho, all ye that thirst, come ye to the waters, says also, seek the Lord while He may be found. So, that's the first thing. The second thing is, I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. Now, it's not just because of what Manasseh did. I mean, in the days of Jeremiah, don't we have enough blameworthiness to attach to Zedekiah? Are we going to see Zedekiah, a wicked ruler? Yes, we are. But Manasseh is that quintessential usurper because his father before him, Hezekiah, had enacted a wonderful and covenanted reform. And what did he do? He undid the whole thing. Now, he tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He tried to put that worship back together again and was unable to after his own reformation, repentance, and conversion. But he took something that Hezekiah, under the inspiration and direction of the Spirit of God and the prophets of that day, had restored to a wondrous plateau that had not been reached for years and years, generations and generations. And Manasseh undid the whole thing and brought it all down. And so he stands as a part for the whole. All those wicked kings and all that wicked worship that had been since the days, past Rehoboam. All right. And then the third thing, part for the whole, is their widows are increased. And so the widows there, that's symbolic for the entirety of the nation, because what will the Lord do when Nebuchadnezzar comes? Well, the men will go first. There is another part being put for the whole. So with regard to intercession, with regard to rule and reign, and with regard to the fanning of God's people and how he mentions the widows there. Those are all terms that are meant to be expanded to their full understanding by the people of God. The other thing that I want you to understand here is that in verse 2, notice, where shall we go forth, right? What are the people going to ask Jeremiah? Such as for death to death, sword to sword, famine to famine, and such as are for captivity to the captivity. But remember that fourth option, the captivity, was the commanded option. that there is a difference between God's providence, His will of decree, and His will of command. That the Lord had commanded them to go out and to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and that Nebuchadnezzar would take them away and they would be restored. The Lord had a procedure that He was working here for chastisement and for judgment and for reformation among the people. And captivity was a part of that, although it seemed unthinkable and unspeakable to the people of God. All right, so now we have Jeremiah's lament in verses 10. Well, in verse 10, Jeremiah laments that instead of having peace in his lifetime, that he has been born a man of strife. I've been born a man of strife. Every time I open my mouth, they whack me for it. Every time I speak to them, they do something evil to me. They speak evil of me. This is contention. I'm a contentious man because I speak the truth. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention. Then the Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Isn't that great? What a promise that the Lord brings to Jeremiah. And so we never need to fear what faithfulness brings. Even in the midst of dark and deep providence, the Lord gives promise to His people through the prophet Jeremiah here. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? In other words, what the Lord is saying is that iron that comes from the north, Nebuchadnezzar, the invasion, it's not going to be held back even by people such as you, Jeremiah. Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price. And now he's speaking, notice, to the nation in its entirety, because of the word you there at the end of verse 14. He's not addressing Jeremiah specifically. He's addressing the entirety of the nation there. All right, so then in verse 15, Jeremiah once again reiterates his commitment to the word of the Lord and speaking it in due time. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Revenge me then, Lord God of hosts, of mine enemies, those that speak against me. I did not sit in their assembly of the mockers. I did not rejoice. Instead, I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. This is an amazing passage. Jeremiah has said, for my faithfulness, Lord, I have been cut off from all my friends. For my faithfulness, I am cut off from the majority of the nation. And it is indeed only that small remnant that you spoke about earlier that are my companions. I have suffered ill at the hands of those who ought to have appreciated what I said. My pain is perpetual and my wound is incurable and it refuses to be healed. Notice, wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? This is not what I expected. I expected to come to the fountain of waters and have my thirst quenched. Instead, I've gotten everything else. Every providence that I've experienced is against what I expected. That's what Jeremiah is crying out for here. What does the Lord say to him? The Lord says, as you have been faithful, continue faithful. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Continue in your solitary estate until they repent and return to you, Jeremiah. Continue in your faithfulness. I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. So, Does the Lord offer Jeremiah relief? No. He does not offer him relief to the difficult providences. But he does offer him, notice, I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So not providential relief for his becoming solitary and being a castaway from all the people, not the heartache that would bring. Instead, the Lord offers him that he will relieve him from the designs of the wicked. This is an amazing passage, isn't it? What do we learn about the prophet Jeremiah here? We learn that he was very much a human being, that he was not a stoic at all. And yet, what does the Lord do for him? The Lord continues to command him with regard to his faithfulness in speaking the word, no matter what the consequences are, with promises of deliverance from the wicked. This is important, brothers and sisters. The Lord has never promised us in this life peace and tranquility. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But do not be afraid. Christ says, I have overcome the world. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with me.